Discuss a little bit about the bracha of Shem Azayis, and then we're going to get into a little discussion about brachas on refuah, various foods and medication. So the Gemara, Laman Hamad Beis, starts quoting a previous Gemara that in Shem Azayis, on olive oil, one says ha'etz. The statement is Amar Yehud, Amar Shmuel, Lechein Amar Yitzchak, Amar Yochanan, Shem Azayis, Mevarach, and Alav Bori, Pre'etz. You say ha'etz on Shem Azayis. The Gemara wants to know, what exactly are the circumstances when you would say ha'etz on olive oil? So the Gemara says, Heichidam, when would you say this? Ilema de kashasile, if you can just drink it straight, the olive oil, ozuki mazikle, it's going to damage you. Desanya hashosa shemen shel chuma, the Brisa tells us if you drink olive oil of chuma, mishalim es hakeren v'ein mishalim es hachomesh, you have to pay back the full amount, but you don't pay an additional, the knas, the penalty of chomesh. However, if you take chuma olive oil, hasech shemen shel chuma, you rub oil on your skin, then you have to pay in addition to the karen, you also mishalim es hachomesh, you also pay out the additional penalty. So you see from there, what's the difference whether you drink the olive oil or whether you just smear it and you're oiling your skin? Why one case you pay chomesh, one case not? So Rashi tells us because the pasuk says ki v'yishko yochal kodesh bishkago, if someone eats chuma accidentally, and the drush is prat lemazik, to the exclusion of being mazik yourself. So only when you're not mazik yourself, you use it in the proper way, do you pay chomesh. But if you use the olive oil in a way that's dangerous or at least damaging to you, you're exempt from paying the chomesh. So this is the raya from Hilchos Truma that Shemen Zayis plain, drinking Shemen Zayis straight, is going to be mazik you and therefore exempt from the Shemen, the bracha Bori Pre'etz. So why is mazik exempt from the bracha of Ha'etz? Why is drinking Shemen exempt? So Rashi tells us here, he writes, Ozukum mazik legufe, the olive oil damages the person's body. Ve'ein zu achila, this is not qualified as a form of eating. Shetuna bracha, it's not an eating that demands a bracha. Dechgavi bracha, v'chaltik, right, v'chaltik v'sevati v'rachta, we say, pasuk by benching. So he says, it says achila next to bracha, so in order to have a chi of bracha, you need an achila. This is Rashi Lishitasa all over the place. Rashi, again, you know, he's always talking about birchas anenim, but he always feels the need to throw in the birchas bracha achrona. However, the Rabbeinu Yonah in the back, this is in the Rif Chaf Heim and Aleph, Rabbeinu Yonah writes, why is he exempt from ha'etz? He says, she'ein zed derech hana'ah. Shekol davar shemazik ein mevarchan lav klal. This is not the form of hana. Any form of anything that damages you, by definition, is not hana for you, and you don't say bracha. So this is Rashi, Rabbeinu Yonah l'shitasam. Rashi says all about the ma'isa achila. Rabbeinu Yonah says all about the hana. Since mazik gives hana, no hana for you, rather, you're exempt from the bracha. Okay. However, you look at the Rambam. Rambam hilchos brachas ches bei. What's so strange about the Rambam? Anybody see the Rambam? Let's just ask Reuven, did you see the Rambam? Skimmed it or skipped it?
Skim.
So the Rambam says as follows. Im shosa shemen levado, if you drink olive oil straight, mivarech olav shehakol, you say bracha shehakol, sharei lo nehena b'tama shemen, you didn't get any hana from the taste of olive oil, therefore you say shehakol. Very strange Rambam. Pashas the Gemara is you don't say any bracha. And Rashi doesn't say it, but the Ra'ah explicitly says that you don't say bracha at all when you drink Shemen Zayis. However, the Rambam writes, you say a shahakal. You don't say ha'etz, but you say a shahakal. Where's the Rambam getting from? Furthermore, why do you say shahakal? You can say shahakal because you don't get hana from the Shemen. I mean, if you don't get hana from the Shemen, you shouldn't say any bracha. Why is the lack of hana the reason to say a shahakal? So the Torah already asks this question. The Torah says, this is mazikyu. The Shemen Zayis is mazikyu. Why are you saying a bracha? So the Kesef Mishnah says there must be some amount of hana that he's receiving, so that's why he say bracha. But that's very hard to say in the Rambam, because Rambam says, he said, which writes here, Sharei lo nehena b'tam Hashem, you don't have any hana. The Kesef Mishnah says, oh, you have a little bit of hana. So what's pshat in the Rambam? Why does Rambam say you're supposed to say shahakal when drinking olive oil straight? Furthermore, before I answer that question, the Gemara goes on to explain another case you would say, maybe another example you'd say, you say ha'et on olive oil. Maybe the case is if you mix it up, first it suggests mixing up with bread. No, but if you mix olive oil with bread, pas is the ikker, you're going to say brach on the pas, not the shemen. We want to know a case where you say ha'et on the shemen. So the Gemara says it must be a case where you mix it with this anigron, some type of vegetable soup or something. And when you mix it with an anigron, vegetable soup, so if you're eating it just stam, so ikar v'tafel, the soup becomes the ikar, and the shemen zayis becomes the tafel, you say the bracha on the soup, not olive oil. But if you have a sore throat of some sort, choshesh begrono, the Gemara says, so then if you need the olive oil to soothe your throat, the shemen becomes the ikar now, not the anigron. You just use this anigron to, I guess, remove some of the potency of the olive oil, makes it not a mazik, and then you take it, you swallow this, and the olive oil soothes your throat. Since it's for refuah, the shemen becomes the ikar, and that's when you say ha'etz on the shemen, even though it's mixed with something else. Not yet, no. We're going to raise another question in the Rambam, and then we're going to come back, hopefully answer them. So, how does the Gemara know that a choshesh begrono is supposed to take this olive oil anigron mixture? So, quotes a Bryson relating to Hilchos Shabbos. On Shabbos, we know you can't take any refuah. You're not allowed to take any refuahs, you can't add medication, because the concern is you might come to chop and grind your own medications, even though it's not really, really relevant nowadays, but the takana still exists. So, the Gemara quotes a Bryson, a choshesh begrono, someone who has a sore throat. He cannot lo yare'enu b'shemen t'chila b'shabbos. He can't just chug a thing of olive oil on Shabbos. But he could put olive oil, mix it with a nigron, this form of soup, and he could just swallow it. Because once you mix a shemen zayas with this anigron, this soup, it becomes food. And food you're allowed to take on Shabbos. Even though there might be some benefits, medical benefits, if you take the food regularly, it's okay. The refuah, you can't do anything that's explicit refuah. If it's derech achila and the refuah comes along with it, that's great. But shemen zayis straight, that's not edible, that's mazigu. If you take it straight, it's clear you're doing it for refuah purposes, that's not allowed. That's the simple reading of the Gemara. However, if you look at Rashi's interpretation, Rashi writes in Lamed Vav Aleph, he says, the only time you can't take olive oil is if you put the olive oil in your mouth and you start gargling it, and you leave it there a little bit to soothe your throat, soothe your mouth. That's not allowed. If you take the olive oil on Shabbos and you just chug it, that's completely fine. The Rambam writes the same thing in Hilchos Shabbos. I didn't bring it with me. I have Lashon, I think, here, wrote down. Rambam writes in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Chafal of Halacha Chavdalad, Aval Boleahu Shemen Harbe Vim Nisrape Nisrape. You just chug a lot of olive oil, and if you get better, you get better. But you look at Tosos there in Lam Levav, Tosos writes, what are you talking about, Rashi? Not only can you not gargle the olive oil on Shabbos, you can't even just swallow it straight. So Machlokas Rashi Tosos, could you swallow olive oil on Shabbos b'derech refuah? And Tosos Yudocha says, one of the Bali Tosos in a separate sefer, asks on Rashi, the din is you could only have achila on Shabbos. And if there's a refuah, that's great. Shemen zayis is mazikyu. It's obviously not an achila. It's obvious you're taking it for refuah purposes. What is the heter, according to Rashi and the Rambam, to have shemen zayis straight on Shabbos? It's not an achila. So those are the two questions. One is, how does the Rambam and Rashi allow you to drink shemen zayis on Shabbos? It's not achila. Secondly, why does the Rambam say you say bracha on shemen zayis? Is it mazikyu? So the answer, I think, is there's a magen ram hilchos Shabbos. Shin Cham Chav Chesiv Katan Lamaches write as follows. Shemen Zayis actually is edible in certain places. Depends on where you live. It's not off limits. Shemen Zayis is Machlokas, could be a Mitzias where you live in location, but Machlokas whether or not is considered edible or not. I know it sounds very Mitzias based. I don't normally like that, but you're going to see it's going to follow through very nicely. The Rambam holds Shemen Zayis is something that's considered edible. That being the case, we understand whether Rambam paskins, you say a bracha on it. Rashi and others say it's not edible, you don't say a bracha. When you eat dirt, you don't say a bracha, it's not edible. So you don't say a bracha when you eat shemen zayis. The Rambam thinks you do say a bracha because shemen zayis is edible. Hilchos Shabbos, we also understand that. The whole question was, how do you take shemen zayis straight? Shemen zayis isn't food. No, it is food. The Rambam holds it is food, it is edible, therefore you can take it straight on Shabbos. Yeah. So we'll explain that point of the Rambam now. But just once we establish that point, that the Rambam right now is the Shitaso, that it's considered edible. It's considered edible, and therefore you say brachon, and therefore it's allowed in Shabbos. Because it's achila, which has refuah to it also. So with Eitan's question now, so if it's something that's edible, so you should say ha'etz on it. Why is it shahako? So we spoke last 2 weeks ago already. Last week was our first week. We spoke about machlokas. We showed him about birchas hananin. Is it a matir or is it a chiv bracha v'hodah of some sort? We pointed out the Rambam seems to say two dinim. Rambam says be'ikr, it's really a chiv hodah. It's about the ma'isa achila. There's a second din of the isr me'ila, the Rambam writes. This is Rav Aryeh Leib Malan. We saw this in the Rav. And so I want to suggest as follows. As we said in the past, the Rambam thinks the ikr thing is the achila, and ma'isa achila is mechayev bracha. The hanah is this added factor. So perhaps you could say as follows. Shemen zayis is considered achila, and therefore it requires a bracha. But which bracha you choose, that depends on whether you get hanah from it or not. So if you get hanah from it also, so you're going to say the appropriate bracha. In addition to an achila, you also need a certain amount of hanah. So when you say, let's say you have an apple, you have an achila and you have an apple. Hanah from the apple, so you say ha'et on that. In the case of shemen, this is a very interesting case. It's achila without hanah. So the achila is mechayev birchas hananin. But since there's no hanah, and this is very meduk in the Rambam, I'll read it back inside. But since there's no hanah, you don't say ha'et, you just say the generic bracha of shahakal, which covers everything. The shahakal covers a ma'is achila. It's the hanah tells us it's only shahakal. So listen to the lashon. I think it's beautiful now. Ram writes, "Mivarech alav shahakol, sharei lo nehna b'tam ha-shemen." Meaning you only say a shahakol because there's no hana from the shemen. Had there been hana, you would have said ha'etz. So I think that's pshat in the Rambam.
Just for clarity,
sure.
So regarding in Mitzvah Shabbos, Rashi disagreed with the Rambam there.
In regards to Shabbos,
for taking
we have to get to Shita's Rashi right now, but at least the Rambam's consistent. Rashi, we'll come back to that. Yeah, sorry. The Rambam's consistent. Shemen is considered achila both in Hilchas Shabbos and Hilchas Brachos.
Right.
The Rashi is different. Rashi writes Hilchas Brachos no bracha.
Right.
Sounds like Shemen's not edible.
Again,
Hilchas Shabbos, he says, you can't take it. So we'll get to that point. So along these lines, the truth is, so the Chiddush we're saying here, the Rambam, like the Magen Avraham writes, the Rambam thinks shemen is edible. Doesn't the Gemara say it's mazik you? How can you say call something that's mazik you edible? So the Ritva and others interpret the Gemara differently. It doesn't mean that the shemen's mazik the individual. It's the opposite. The individual is mazik the shemen. Now, it's very strange. What do you mean you're mazik? I eat an apple, I'm mazik the apple. I eat or drink anything, I'm mazik the food. They say that. They say it's mazik and mafsid the food.
Because he's lowering it from an eats to a shakal?
No, that's not. Well, why do you say that?
Well, because the way he's drinking it.
Okay. So we'll say it now. So that's basically the point, but we'll hold on that point a second. I'm just trying to prove that we see. No, I think it's great. You should answer. I just want to hold off for a second on that point. But you could see from here, the shaman's not being mazik a person. It's edible.
Yeah.
You're being mazik the shaman. Why that is, we'll get to that. But this is consistent with this language of the Rambam.
So who said that's a Ritva?
The Ritva writes that, and others also write this. But the Ritva is very clear about it. It's not mazik you, you're mazik it. Which implies that, again, it's something that's edible.
That's the
Ra'ah? That's the Ritva writes. I think the Ra'ah maybe also. Now, just to continue this point of the Rambam and Rashi, leaving aside Rashi right now, Hilchas Brachos, another, I think, a beautiful point that the consistency here. Okay, why is it that when you drink Shemen Zayis straight, you're putter from paying chomesh? So Rashi said you're putter from paying chomesh. Chomesh is this knas, because Rashi writes because you're mazik the shemen. It's a p'tur midin mazik. That's why you don't pay shemen. If you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Shumos, this is where Perek Yud Hilchos Shumos Halachaches. The Rambam also has a din of being mazik. If someone's mazik food, Hilchos Shumos, mazik truma, you're part of chomesh. He says, "Ki yochal lo shiyazik et atzmo." You have to eat it, not that it mazik you. He gives an example: v'chein hakoseis es ha'sa'orim. Someone who eats koseis is a way any eating that's not normal. You eat barley, patur min achomesh mipnei shehizik atzma. The Gemara in Lamed Vav tells us that the sa'orim, barley, is painful. It's a mazik person. So the example he gives is that if you eat barley, it's mazik you and you're patur from paying chomesh and barley truma. What he doesn't mention is what about drinking shemen zayis? The shemen zayis is also another example. If you drink shemen zayis, is that going to be mazik you and that's why you're patur? Nope. The Rambam actually talks about the halacha in halacha yud aleph. Halacha yud aleph, he's talking about various things that are edible, but you don't eat it in the proper way. So he says, let's say you feed your children, or you eat truma chutz laretz, or you eat and drink less than a kazayas, or a nazir that drinks wine, or if you drink oil, you don't pay chomesh. So on this list, he includes drinking oil, you don't pay chomesh. He doesn't include it with the halachas that the oil is mazgu, because oil, according to the Rambam, does not mazgu. The reason why you don't pay chomesh on drinking shemen zayis is because it's not derech achila. In order to pay chomesh, you have to have something derech achila. So this is again the Rambam, the shitaso, that shemen zayis is considered something that is ochel, although not derech achila. The chepse is ochel, but maybe not in ma'isa achila. Okay, so we had a couple of questions still figuring out consistency within Rashi and the opinion of the Ritva. So Rashi, Noah pointed out already, seems to point a couple of times, he says it's not royal achila, then he says it is royal achila. So Rashi, in regards to Hilchos Brachos, he says it's not an achila and it doesn't deserve a bracha. Yet in regards to Shabbos, he says you can have oil straight on Shabbos. Mashma, it is considered an achila. So what's Pshat? So I think you can say as follows. The Gemara itself in Laman Haman Beis compares Hilchos Brachos to Hilchos Truma. Right, that was the Gemara's whole point in the beginning. So Rashi thinks they're very much related. Just like Hilchos Truma, you have to eat the Truma in the normal way, the Derech Achila. So too, Hilchos Brachos has to be with Derech Achila. Since Shemen Zayis, when you drink it, is not Derech Achila, it does not warrant its natural bracha. You need the normal Derech Achila for it. For Hilchos Brachos, Hilchos Truma. So therefore, for that halacha, it is not considered a food. Comes to Hilchos Shabbos, either just gezeres of some sort, the Chum didn't require a real derech achila. Even an achila kosher, even eating something that's not a typical way of eating, but it's some form of achila, that's enough of a heter for you to take it on Shabbos. So Hilchos Shabbos requires any achila. The Hilchos Truma and Hilchos Brachos, because of the connection, need the derech achila. And that's explaining the Rashi's opinion, I think. Let's see. The Rambam in Hilchos Trumos.
They're saying that it's a chefza in Yud Aleph. It's a chefza achila, but it's not a ma'isa achila. So it's sending be here by brachos. There's no ma'isa achila, therefore no bracha. But by Shabbos,
there. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, something. Yeah. Okay, so now we can explain that Ritva before, which I think Noah's trying to get at. The Ritva told us, when the Gemara says Shemen's Mazik, it doesn't mean the Shemen's Mazik the person, because as we pointed out for the Rambam and others, that Shemen's not damaging. Shemen is something that is considered edible. So it's actually, you're being Mazik the food. How are you being Mazik food? Anytime I eat something, it's Mazik. So if I eat food, I don't have to say a bracha, of course not. Rather, what does it mean you're being Mazik and you're being Mafted? When you misuse the food. The food is supposed to be used in a certain way. It's supposed to be eaten in a certain way. Shemen, zayis, is supposed to be used for oil and skin, not for eating. So when you misuse it by eating it or drinking it, that's going to be being mafsid, the oil, and doesn't warrant a bracha. So this Ritva, this formulation, is going to be very similar to Rashi. I mean, we said before, Rashi, when do you have to say the proper bracha on something? When it's the derech achila. So to the Ritva says, it has to be b'derech achila to a certain extent. Okay, so the basic thing we walk away with it thus far is machlokas is shemen zayis considered an achila davar meichel or not? Is it edible or is it not? So this is going to explain another issue that comes up here in this sugya. The Gemara tells us that what's the example that you say it's on olive oil, it's when you mix it with this anigron. We mix with the anigron and you have a sore throat, so then you say ha-ha-eitz on it. So what's the reason why? Gemara tells us because it sounds like dinim of ikar v'tafel, and the ikar here is the shemen. Now is it the ikar? Is the shemen dais the ikar because you need it for refuah? Or is the shemen dais the ikar because there happens to be more shemen? Is it about the ingredients? Now this whole discussion ikar v'tafel we're not going to get into, but let's just try to focus from our angle right now. What makes the shemen the ikar? Is it because how much shemen there is? Or is it because you're doing it for refuah? It ends up being a machlokas rishonim. What an afumina, before we explain it. Let's say I don't have a sore throat, but I have more olive oil than a nigun. What's the ikar? If it goes based on how much ingredients, so you go bust the shaman because there's more shaman in it. If it goes based on the fua, so if I'm not feeling sick, I have a sore throat, even though there's more shaman, I'm going to have the bracha of the nigun. And another machlokas, let's say I do have a sore throat, but there's less shaman than a nigun. So if you always follow the refuah, so shemen's always thicker. Even though there's less, it's about refuah. But if it's not about the refuah, it's actually about the amount of ingredients, then you're going to go bust with the anigrom because it's more anigrom. So there are nafkumis. But what is the nekudas machlokas, whether or not you follow the ikar tafel in regards to how much of the ingredients, or whether it's dependent on refuah? So I think you could say as follows. If you're going to say shemen's size is something that's edible, so it's like any other food, and it should follow the classic rules of ikar v'tafel, which is, normally speaking, without getting too involved, whichever is rof, with some exception. So then the ra'a writes, whatever is rof, that's the bracha. You say nothing to do with refuah. It's all about the rof. If shemen's rof, you say ha'itz, even if you don't have a sore throat. If anigron's more, even if you do have a sore throat, you say the bracha on the anigron. And the ra'a is also of the opinion, he says, that the shemen's eyes isn't mazik you, you're mazik the shemen. Because the shemen can be mazigu, the shemen is something that's edible. So since it's edible, it's consistent that the ra'arayt, it all depends on the amount of ingredients. The other rishon who argue, l'chor would say, it's dependent on refuah. Because shemen zayis is not edible. And it does not follow the normal halachas of ikar v'tafel. So therefore, it follows another set of rules, maybe similar to ikar v'tafel, but it's not the classic case because it's derech refuah and shemen zayis is not something that's roi l'achila. It doesn't work out so well. I don't want to get too so complicated here. The Rambam actually says it depends on whether you have refuah or not, which seems to be inconsistent with what we just said. There are ways around it. I just don't want to get, I don't want to lose you guys. But it's. I wrote it in my notes and we'll leave it as a tzarachim without getting too involved. Okay. Elmaisa, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that you have shemen levada, you don't say any bracha. That's not passing of the Rambam. It's not really a lemaisa, I would imagine. You don't say a bracha shakal if you drink olive oil straight. If you mix it with an anigron, it doesn't depend on... it depends on whether you're doing it for a fool or not. Again, I'm not sure how practical it is, but that's the Shulchan Aruch's sakalacha. Now, let's move on to the refuah case. Now, the Gemara, in continuing the discussion, when do you say ha'et in olive oil, the Gemara finally concludes again, as we said, you mix it with the anigon and you have a sore throat, you say ha'et on the shemen and zayis. So the Gemara in Lam Levav and Amnav writes, pshita, of course you're going to say the shemen and zayis, you say ha'et on the shemen and zayis, it's the ikar. The Gemara says, mal desema, what you would have thought came into the refuah kamachavein, since you're having intentions for refuah. So lo livrach la klal, you shouldn't have to make any brachas for refuah, it's not for eating. Kamash malon came into ishlei hana minei bai bracha, since in the end of the day there's a certain amount of hana, so then therefore you say a bracha even on refuah. The Gemara has a similar case in Lam Chesem Alf, talks about something called a shesissa. Shesissa is something made from flour, dried flour of some sort. And the Gemara says it depends on the consistency. If it's very thick, it's made for eating, and you say mazonos. If it's very thin and liquidy, it's for refuah, and you would say a shahakal. The Gemara at the end says, you would have had a half minute to say no bracha, but since it's for refuah, kamash malon, you say a bracha because it's hana. Yeah, I think it's exactly. So the half minute is exactly the point. Perfect setup. Havmina, since it's refuah, it's not a ma'isa achila. What's the kamash malon? Two kamash malon.
There still is no ma'isa achila, but there is hana.
Ah, that's one approach.
Right, there's ma'isa achila, and therefore
hana. Ah, right, exactly. So Look what Rashi says. This is, I think, a great deek in Rashi. Rashi Lam Nevav Amnav writes, this is towards the top, one, two, like eight, nine lines down. He writes, Isle Hanomine, Levad Harfua, a sign from the Fua, Yeshlo Hanaos Achila. What? What's Hanaos Achila? The Gemara says, Hanaos. What's he adding with the word Hanaos Achila? If you think it's just like he's just talking regularly, if you look Lam Chesam Aleph, he does the same exact thing. He says, Share Michael Hu Boy Brucha. He says, because it's a Michael, it requires a Brucha. What's Rashi trying to do here? Before we enter that, if you look over at Tosos and Lam Vavam and Aleph, Tosos adds something. He says, we get from this halacha that if it's refuah that has a na, you say a bracha. So he writes, what if you have mashkim ra'im, bad waters, which I assume is something that's inedible. Bad waters, something that's not food. If there's no hana, you don't say a bracha. If there is a na, you do say bracha. What would Rashi say about a case like this? L'chora Rashi would argue, the case is mashkim ra'im, which I'm calling something not edible. Rashi says hana's meichel in both cases. It has to be hana from food. Mashkim ra'im is not food. I think Rashi would say, even if there was hana from mashkim ra'im, you would not say bracha, because according to Rashi, it's all about hana from the ma'isa achila. The kamash milan is that it is ma'isa achila. There's a hana of achila there. As opposed to the ram, the tosos, the shitaso, all of the brachos, is that it's all about hana, whether it's flavor to it. Now, in terms of halacha, how do you pass when it comes to food, not medication yet? So you take food for medical reasons. Whatever example is, let's say pomegranate juice is very healthy for you. You take it for, good...
Fish oil,
okay. Omega-3s, right? So a lot of fish this week, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of fish. A lot of mercury, they say, also. Too much and not too good. So let's say you take one of these things, food, for refuah purposes. So you're gonna the Shulchan Aruch and Or Chaim Reish Dal Tzivches Paschim's like Tosos. If you get hana from it, such as it's a cough drops, or tea, or chewable vitamins, all those things which are very flavorful, you would say a bracha. This is like food. I'm not sure chewable vitamins is probably not considered food. Maybe it is a candy. I'm not sure. Maybe it is. Now the Shaar Tzion goes a step further. He says it doesn't have to be good flavoring, as long as it's not bad flavoring. If it's a food and doesn't have bad flavor, as long as it's like not terrible, neutral, so that too would warrant a bracha, he writes. What? So he said, do I have the language here? Afim tamo eno tov kol kach, as long as it's not ra'im, as long as it's not bad. So I don't know if it means like you need a little bit of hana from it, maybe a slight taste, maybe a little bit of flavor. I was actually reading today somewhere that the Gra says if you have tea without sugar, you do not say a bracha. So that we'll do that tomorrow night, Mir Tashem. We're gonna get to the bracha. It's a good question. That's a whole nother sugya. So, what about taking pills and other medication? If there's no hana, there's no flavor, pasha, there's no shaila at all. You don't say bracha at all. Let's say it's flavored medications. So do you say bracha on that? Now this also comes up, we're not going to talk about it tonight, it comes up very important for Hilchos Pesach. Things that, if it doesn't have flavor, even just for do you need hashgacha on medications? So if it has flavor to it, you need a hashgacha, you have to look into it. So many medications don't have, I think on the Star K website, they go through lists, they up to date, they which ones are considered kosher, which ones are not. To really look into it. It's very important for Hilchos Pesach and just Hilchos Kashrus in general. But what's the din if you have vitamins that do have flavor? So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank in Mikra Kodesh says it depends on the chakir we've been discussing up until now. Is it Birchas Nedin Midin Hoda or is it Midin Hana? If it's Midin a Maisa Achila like the Rashi, it's not Maisa Achila, this is for Rafua, so you wouldn't have to say it. But if it's that hanah, and you're getting hanah, it's flavorful, so you would have to say. That's the chakira he sets up. The mice, it's actually machlokas poskim, but the Yashu Zatzal, he writes that one should say a bracha, and his reasoning is because the halo nenehu va'as lehenosmim hazabla bracha, you're getting hanah from these vitamins. They have a nice grape, well, probably grape is never kosher, but cherry, strawberry flavor, it tastes delicious. Of course, you should say a bracha. Rishon Zalman, however, disagrees and says, no, because I'll give you the rye. What's a litmus test whether or not you're going to, if you would eat it, if you didn't need it for it? Would I take this and not for full? Of course not. You wouldn't have like a flavored Tylenol cap if it wasn't.
But what if it's part of your daily regimen?
Yeah, but if you're doing only because for medication.
But just purely, it's not vitamins, you're saying it's just medication?
Or no, I think just medication, because I think before some say chewable vitamins might be b'toras ochel.
Right, well, because you can have it every day, and it's not right. Like you would have it this.
Right.
Every day.
Right. And usually, like, you know, right. Especially the chewables for the kids, the, like candies. Right. The last night I was asking my kids, so my oldest, Bat Sheva, so she says she doesn't like it. I smelled it. It smelled good. And she showed me what she does. She holds her nose. I don't know how that helps. But she holds her nose when she chews the vitamin, like it holds back some of the taste. She can't stand. My other one, Yocheved, could eat a ton of them if she wanted. So, what? The bubblegum. That's right. That, but yeah, that she tolerates that, but she's not very good with medicines. Yocheva could just down it. So Rishon Zalman says that one should not say bracha on it, because no one who would eat it. It's not achila. You wouldn't eat it if you didn't need it. So I think Rishon Zalman, I may have read this in the essay of one of the Sfarim, that he would agree when it came to children's medicine, because children's medicines are very flavorful, and kids actually would eat it, depending on what the, you have to figure out what type of medicine is it, but some kids like love medicine because it tastes so good, which is just warped, but I guess the kids won't take it. No, it's strange to get kids like addicted to medicine, but at the same time you want them to take it, so it's a tough call what to do. So anyways, what they say to do in any of these cases when you have a flavored medicine, the best thing to do is to say bracha on something else, shahak on something else, and then to take it. Now, in terms of what bracha is actually to say, if it's vitamins and chewables, those are for sure shahakal. But going back to the previous case we had before, let's say you're using food. You're using food for refuah purposes. So we said, what's a refuah purpose that's not a shahakal? Now, let's say you're taking apples because something, some refuah of yours. Okay. Sugar's usually shahakal. Oh, strawberry. You're saying like natural sugars and stuff like that. Could be. No, maybe could be. And ginger helps your throat. Yeah. Okay. So spice. I think you'd say shahakal on that. Still, in ginger though. Thing. If anything, it's a spice. No. It's a plant. We use it for spice. For, I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. People eat bananas for potassium.
Right.
Deficiency, that's a really big
problem. Oh, yeah? I used to eat bananas before in basketball and hockey
that's
games.
Good for
you.
Yeah,
you know, energy spurts, yeah. Yeah.
Or the Chinese are the roots, you know? Like they really use roots.
What do they do in Australia?
Kangaroo.
So anyway, the Gemara has examples of like having mizonos, different types of flour things used for food purposes. So the Gemara on Lamed Ches talks about the shasisa, which is made from flour, and the Gemara says if it's a very thin consistency, it's used for food. So yet the Gemara passes, you say shahakal. Why are you saying shahakal if in fact it's really made from mizonos? And you should say mizonos on it, because the ikar v'tafel always say the flour and the grains are always the ikar. You should say mizonos. Why do you say a shahakal? So some Rishonim write, and this is the Ra'ah writes this, I believe, and others, that the Ritva I have here, both Ritva and the Ra'ah write, because you're doing it for food purposes, not doing it for achila purposes. If you're doing it for achila, you'd say mizonos, but once you do it for food purposes, it brings the category down, and you only say shahako. This we mentioned in the passage, the Ritva might have two dinim as well. I know we're getting a little complicated with all the shitasas. The Ritva says, there's still going to be hana from here. So you don't say the normal bracha. It's like the opposite of the Rambam. You don't say the normal bracha of mizonos because it's only refuah. It brings it down. Well, if it's not an achil, don't say a bracha at all. No, but since there's still hana, so you say a shahakal. Well, the Rambam was the opposite, we said. Ram says, if it's not, since it is a Maisa Achila, you say Shehakol Nahona. Okay, if you got it, you got it. I don't want to spend too much time on it. But so the Ritva says, on all Rafuas, you say Shehakol. Across the board. However, Tosos or Ben Yonah argue. He says, no. On any food for Rafua, you say the normal bracha. Why do you say Shehakol when it comes to this Shesisa case? Because it was made in such a liquid consistency, it wasn't made to lisot. It wasn't made to satiate like normal mazonos. It was made lishos, to drink. Once you turn it into a liquid, beer. Beer comes from grain. You don't say mazonos in beer because it's made lishos. It's not made lisot. So once you take these grains and make it into a liquid and simply to drink, it loses its brachu seishahako. But had you had another food which you're eating for food purposes, you would retain its normal bracha. So it comes out as follows. Machlokas writ from the Tosfos. When you have something for a food, you say the bracha harilo, or you simply say shahakol. Now the Shulchan Aruch paskins that you say, like the Tosfos, you say the bracha that it's you're supposed to say on the normal food. Now it's interesting, the Ramad, this is the Shulchan Aruch writes this in Simon Reish Ches Sif Zayin. The Ramad and Reish Dalad Sif Yud Aleph argues on Shulchan Aruch and says, no, you say Shehakol across the board. The Magen Avraham and Mishabur argue in the Ramah, and the general accepted minhag is if you're having food for food purposes, you say the normal bracha haruya lo. Now, just to the final point here, very interesting, Gilyoni Ashas. So, Yosef Engel here has an interesting discussion. He quotes from a Chuas Radvaz. Radvaz writes that let's say you plant a tree for the sole purpose of refuah, a fruit tree for refuah. This would not be considered Eitz Meichel. Eitz Meichel for Arla purposes. It would exempt from Arla since it wasn't for an Eitz Meichel. That was a very, very interesting chiddush of the Gilyon HaShasav and the Radbaz. So perhaps you could say that's only true if you hold like the Ritva, that a Rafua is going to paka the Shem Achila. You don't see the normal bracha, the Rafua does that. Here too, also planting for Rafua is going to remove its Shem Eichel. But if you heard like Tosos that no, it retained its normal bracha. The case of Shishis is different because it was made into liquid. Rafua does not affect the bracha anyways, so too it wouldn't affect perhaps the Shchalo Shem Eitz Meichel, and it would be Chayv in Arla. Now of course one can be Chalik between Hilchas Brachas and Hilchas Arla. That's a whole another discussion we'll hopefully get to a little bit over the next couple of weeks. There's a one sugi that connects the two. But that's, I think, interesting food for thought. Okay, so we'll stop here. I know it's a little early, and then tomorrow we will.